Good morning. I'm calling to order the Northwest Seaport Alliance Managing Members Meeting on June 6, 2023. The time is 10:29 a.m. We will now recess for an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub I to discuss with legal counsel representing the agency litigation or potential litigation to which the agency is or is likely to become a party. When public knowledge regarding the discussion is likely to result in an adverse legal or financial consequence to the agency. No action will be taken in the public session, which follows as a result of this discussion. We will reconvene in public at 11:30 a.m. Thank you. Good morning. I am Sam Cho, Alliance Co-Chair and Port of Seattle Commission President, calling to order the Northwest Seaport Alliance Managing Members Meeting of June 6, 2023. The time is exactly 11:30 a.m. We are reconvening following an executive session held pursuant to RCW 42.30.110 sub 1 sub I. Also present are with me today are Co-Chair and Port of Tacoma President Deanna Keller, Port of Seattle Commissioners Calkins, Fellowman Hazakawa, and Commissioner Mohammed virtually, and Port of Tacoma Commissioners Eng, Marzano, and Meyer. Commissioner Mark McCarthy is excused. To begin, please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Next is our CEO report. CEO Wolf, take it away.
Thank you, Co-Chair Cho, and welcome to our June Managing Member Meeting. Today we have a pretty light agenda. On the consent agenda, we've got an update to our Rail Cargo Incentive Program. This is a program that you all approved back in April. We had a few carriers that missed a deadline, and we would like to be able to include those carriers in the incentive program. And we will recognize, it, with your approval, we'll recognize their participation beginning in June. That is on the consent agenda. Also on the consent agenda is the First Amendment to the Terminal 46 U.S. Coast Guard short-term lease. This was approved back in July of last year. And there were some restricted uses associated with that short-term lease, and we'd like to amend the lease to include maintenance activities on that lease premise. So that's on the consent agenda as well. Then on the action agenda, we have a lease amendment with a tenant at Terminal 115, and then we have as a second item on the action agenda, first reading of a co-chair-led resolution. And then under the general briefings, staff is prepared to provide a 2023 mid-year grant update. We've been very active. Our grant team has been very active pursuing grant opportunities at the state and federal level, and want to keep you apprised of those activities and where those opportunities exist. So that concludes my report, and at this point, I'll turn it back to Co-Chair Cho.
Excellent. Thank you, John. We are now at public comment. Do we have anyone signed up for public? No, okay, all right. Hearing none, this concludes public comment. Now that we are moving on to work group reports, we have one report from our environmental work group. Commissioner Fellman, would you like to give us the report?
Now that I have finished filling my mouth with food, perfect. All right. The environmental work group comprised of Commissioners Ang and Keller, Fellman and Mohammed, met on May 16th to discuss getting an update of the Quiet Sound program from Director Rachel Aronson and support staff. For a quick reminder, the Quiet Sound program is where we have vessels slowing down in the presence of endangered southern resident killer whales with the cooperation of the pilots and the shipping industry. all voluntary. And this was the first year that they did a pilot project after a couple of years getting organized. And the whales were very cooperative. There was a high amount of whale sightings in the area during that time, which meant a lot of times for the vessels to slow down, which may not have been what was expected, but participation rate was very good. It was interesting that they calculated how fast the vessels were going by AIS, and they found about 53% of the group are, there were 43% of the days that this was going on between October 24th and January 12th, and during that time, 43% of the time the whales were there. Like I said, it was like kind of unusual. And the study area is from Admiralty Inlet to the south end of Whidbey Island, entrance to Puget Sound, which is often where the whales will turn around and go back up again. So anyway, vessels participation was 53% of the time, but the pilots reported being involved 70% of the time. So this is a question of whether they slowed down enough or the tidal currents, whatever. So anyway, that was a great start to a first year of a pilot project, tremendously successful. There's also this effort underway to map the underwater noise of the Puget Sound region to sort of see is there going to some potential for acoustic sanctuary, shall we say. There is also an interesting paper at the IMO right now looking at also sort of zoning for noise. And then finally, the U.S. Navy had a challenge program for autonomous vessels being able to detect marine mammals. So they want to send drone vessels across the ocean and don't want them bumping into things. So they had a challenge grant, and it was the folks at UnCruise came up with a system where they have underwater hydrophones mounted into the hull and some sort of infrared FLIR reader at the top, and so that they should be able to detect the whales. I haven't seen the results of that, but what's really important, with all the advent of additional fast ferries going across the Sound at all weather and all times of day, perpendicular to the whale's path, if indeed something like this is shown to be effective, that would be really great. And then just to conclude, the Quiet Sound was funded by the state legislature for 23-25, biennium of $350,000 a year with the advocacy of this group. And Senator Cantwell has submitted a $300,000 grant for appropriation for Quiet Sound, and no news on that, although Congress's perseverations don't look good. Also, National Fish and Wildlife Foundation and NOAA. I don't understand why NOAA only is putting up $25,000. They're the chief steward of the endangered whale, and they're getting more money than ever. I would definitely go back to them. National Fish and Wildlife Service for $170,000, and there are other pending grants. So we're doing well and proceeding accordingly.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Commissioner Felling, for that update. Moving on in the agenda, item number 8 is our next order of business is approval of the consent agenda. Items 8A through 8D, which are 8A, approval of the minutes from May 2nd, 2023. 8B, approving the payment of checks and wire transfers during the period of April 21st through May 19th, 2023, in the amount of $27,070,005.03. 8C, authorization to extend enrollment period of the 2023 Rail Cargo Incentive Program to June 30th, 2023. And 8D, authorization for the CEO or his delegate to approve the First Amendment to lease between the Northwest Seaport Alliance and the United States Coast Guard at Terminal 46 for expanded use. Are there any questions or are there any requests from commissioners to remove items from the consent agenda?
Commissioner Cho.
Commissioner Meyer.
I don't have a request to move. I just have one question.
Go ahead.
Could I ask
yep.
one question? An administrative question on 8C, considering that the program has a $1.5 million for the Sim Yard rent abatement. Are you tracking, John, the rail incentive related to South Harbor versus North Harbor, given that rent reduction? I just want to make certain that there's confirmation there relative to what's happening in the South Harbor.
Yes, we are tracking both by carrier and specifically by both harbors.
Yeah, thank you.
Great. Hearing no further motions, do I have a motion and a second to approve the consent?
Seconded.
All right, it's been motioned and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Great, the motion.
Mohammed, may we get your vote?
Oh, I'm sorry. Commissioner Mohammed?
Aye.
Thank you. All right, the motion carries. All right, I'm chugging along here. All right, item number nine, actions. This brings us to 9A on the agenda. It looks like Aaron DeBrew is here to, for the presentation.
So I'll quickly introduce Aaron. Aaron is our senior real estate manager for the Northwest Seaport Alliance and interim director of real estate here at the Seaport Alliance. With Jennifer's departure, Aaron has accepted that additional role and is doing a fabulous job in that leadership role within the real estate group. So welcome, Aaron.
Good morning. Yep. All right. Thank you. So I just want to give first proper acknowledgement. While I'm presenting this material, this is the result of good work done by Jennifer Maeda, our previous real estate director. So I will be presenting the 19th amendment to our lease with Lineage Seafreeze at Terminal 115. The action requested, I am requesting managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance authorization for the chief executive officer or their delegate to approve the 19th amendment to lease between the Northwest Seaport Alliance and Lineage Seafreeze Leasehold RE LLC at Terminal 115. Starting with an aerial view of Terminal 115 as a whole, you can see the Lineage Seafreeze premises outlined in blue, which is about 18.77 acres in total. A summary of why this is being brought forward. The purpose of this 19th amendment is to address a standard market rate adjustment as part of the lease, which is a ground lease with Lineage Seafreeze at Terminal 115. This market rate adjustment was initiated in a timely manner, but extended due to the length of time to review and obtain an appraisal. The parties mutually agreed to extend the negotiation and came to a resolution in April. The agreed upon rent will be billed retroactively back to January 1st, 2023. Some background on Lineage. Lineage has been a tenant at Terminal 115 since 1977. They provide processing and storage of refrigerated, and frozen commodities, primarily seafood. The current term of the lease expires November in 2027, and there are three 10-year options to extend for a total of approximately 35 years remaining on this lease. Their current rate is 17 cents per square foot per month for the ground lease, which excludes all improvements. We performed an appraisal, which came back with a market rate for ground leases in the range of 38 cents per square foot to 40 cents per square foot per month, which we believe reflects the current inflated rates which occurred over the past 24 months. We are proposing a step-up increase in rent, which will allow Lineage to absorb this increase predictably while bringing their rental rate within the market value. We are proposing that we start in year one with 23 cents per square foot, then up to 27 cents, then up to 30 cents, and starting at year four, increase by CPI thereafter not to exceed 5%. We acknowledge that these rates are lower than the appraised value, but believe it is appropriate for the following reasons. The Seattle market rental rate for unimproved industrial yards from 2018 to 2020 consistently showed at 25 cents per square foot per month, but increased quite a bit in 2021 and 22 to 30 cents to 40 cents per square month. And we believe this is related to the marine cargo surge and other pandemic responses, which resulted in a higher demand for closed-in Seattle industrial properties. The parcel's 18.77 acres, and due to the economics of scale, larger parcels are typically adjusted downward in the market rate due to their size versus more compact, like-kind use properties. And finally, there are built-in market rate resets every 60 months, and if this increase proves to not be an anomaly and to be the market standard, we will again look to increase it to the market rate in the next 60 months. So here are the outline of the terms we are amending. We are extending the term. It's currently at November 22nd, 2027, and we're extending it just a little over a month to December 31st, 2027, so that the adjustments and the termination date of the lease are aligned. The rent beginning retroactively to January 1st, 2023 will be start at 23 cents per square foot, then up to 27 cents, then up to 30. And then there are an additional 17,254 square feet of submerged area, and this will be at 3 cents per square foot per month, which is the market rate for submerged land. Rent will increase by CPI starting January 1st, 2026, not to exceed 5%. In accordance with the lease, the secure deposit will be 12 months' rent. The financial implications. Assuming that all three 10-year extensions are exercised, the net present value of the increase in rental rates due to this proposed lease structure and market rate adjustment is $17.9 million. This is $600,000 higher than the original budget for 2023. So again, the action requested today requests managing members of the Northwest Seaport Alliance authorization for the Chief Executive Officer or their delegate to approve the 19th Amendment to lease between the Northwest Seaport Alliance and Lineage C3's Seafreeze Leasehold RE, LLC at Terminal 115. Thank you, and I welcome any questions.
Thank you so much. Any questions?
Do you want a motion?
No questions?
Do you want a motion on the floor?
Can I get a motion?
Second.
All right, it's a motion and second. Any questions? Commissioner Feldman.
Help me understand the operations here.
Oh.
So there is a wharf, right?
There is,
so
correct.
They're receiving the fish and are freezing it, and they're then shipping it out again?
It's all via truck. Right now, the wharf area is not in good condition. It is fenced off. Should it become usable in the future, it would be on Lineage to repair it and make it safe for use.
All right, so this is not part of the lease?
Correct.
All right, thank you.
Well, when you say it's not part of the lease, it is part of the lease, it's just not being utilized.
Yes, I apologize. That is correct. It's within the leasehold, but not currently in use.
Any other questions? Commissioner Calkins.
Commissioner Feldman anticipated one of my questions about how they got stuff to and from. My other question is, is T-115 a Seaport Alliance licensed property?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And what are the activities that occur there?
On the property as a whole? We have a number of tenants there, so we do have American AML, American Marine Lines, so they do bring in barges. We have a small trucking company there that's on a part of it, and then Gene Summy Lumber, which is a lumber storage. And then we have Lineage Cheap Freeze, which is on
AML is mostly domestic to Alaska.
That's correct, okay. Yes.
Mr. Meyer, or is that all
that's
you?
It.
Okay.
Thank you. I have a couple questions in terms of the overall term of lease.
Sure.
You know, one thing I've learned over time is when you start looking at 30 plus years on any leases and having no period for adjusting to market rates, and considering you didn't really negotiate this lease, so maybe this is an unfair question to you, but I'm really concerned about, just as a matter of policy, not having some point. Well, I should back up. Whose option is it on the three 10-year options?
Their exclusive option.
It's their exclusive
option.
It
is, correct.
So we have no way of adjusting over 30-plus years to market. And I guess that just bothers me, to be honest about it. I think we ought to be, as a matter of policy, trying to figure out, just like what you did here, we should be doing a market rate analysis. I just have a fundamental problem with not having a policy on that. And the other piece here for me is...
I'm sorry, do you want to respond to that real quick?
I was just going to clarify, I'm not sure I heard you correctly, but there are automatic market rate adjustments every 60 months, even through the exercised options to the very termination of the lease. So every 60 months we'll be revisiting the rental
rate. Every
5 years.
Every 5 years there is a market rate?
There is,
oh,
yes, correct.
I am sorry, I missed that. Oh, fantastic.
Under 240.
Yes.
I didn't see that. The other piece is,
in terms of the formula for the submerged area.
Yeah.
What's the formula? Because DNR has a formula.
And that is the formula we use. I have it with me.
Okay, very good. That's all I need to know.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much. That's it. Don't confuse me.
Okay.
Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, just to follow up on Commissioner Meyer, I'd like to see us kind of have a practice when we do these long-term leases. We have a mutual, segment in there that says on the behalf of both sides. I don't want to see one side control their destiny without us being able to say something. That's all.
And that is our standard now. When this was negotiated in 1977, yes, but our current lease language, that is our standard practice.
So that occupies most of the leased area?
They built it, it finished construction in 1978, I believe, so.
Are they likely going to have to rebuild during that time period, or is it in good condition?
I am not aware of any issues with it currently. I have not done a tour of it myself, so I can't speak to its exact condition, but I don't believe it's in poor condition.
I can attest to 46-year-old stuff being in great shape, so wouldn't worry about it.
But following up on Commissioner Calkins' question, if we were to find ourselves in a position where the building needs to be retrofitted, whatever, because it's a ground lease, it's on the tenant to do that, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
Yes, we have no maintenance responsibilities under this lease.
Great. Any other questions, Commissioner Meyer? Yeah.
Could I ask one more question? And that is, Aaron, I hope in the future that when we look at these leases like this, that you also put job impact numbers in here, because as a commissioner, I'm always interested in the number of jobs. And if you could, do you have any idea what kind of the employment level here
is? I do, yeah, and I apologize, it's not in the materials. They employ 70 staff at this location.
Thank you very much. Yes. That's always important, I think,
that
we talk about that as a reminder about our role.
Commissioner Feldman.
The other part of that is whether they're represented staff or not. Is it a union shop or not? And that's one of the questions. You said that the dock was dilapidated, but that the barge operator is moving cargo over the dock.
It's a different part of the property. So AML has been maintaining that area versus this area in Lineage's premises has been fenced off and they're not using it. So it is same side of the property, but different areas.
I just only see one dock, that's all. So are they different wing of the dock? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. For lack of better verbiage, correct. Yes, so where it's blue, that is Lineage's controlled area, and that area we would not consider in usable condition. But then the remaining portion along the waterway is usable, where you can see the barges that are on there.
Excellent.
All right, do we know if it's represented labor?
I don't know. That I can find. I don't want to guess. Let me find out and get back to you.
Okay. Yeah, Commissioner Ng.
Just curious.
Yeah.
How long has the tenant been on 17 cents?
They have been on 17 cents. They have annual CPI adjustments, so it just have been for this past year.
Oh, so it was even lower before.
Correct.
Yeah, and now it's markets around 30 or 38 to 40 cents.
But they built more improvements.
Okay. Correct. So this was appraised at dirt only. They did the pavement, the fencing, the building, the lighting. So we didn't include any of those in our analysis.
Thanks. Excellent. The motion before us is to authorize the CEO or his delegate to approve the 19th amendment to the lease between the Northwest Seaport Alliance and Lineage Seafreeze Leasehold RELLC at Terminal 115. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, say nay. Commissioner Mohammed, what say you?
Aye.
Excellent. The motion carries. Thank you very much. Our next item of business is Resolution 2023-04. By motion of Co-Chair Keller and second by myself, we are introducing proposed Resolution 2023-04, a commitment to the Northwest Seaport Alliance. for discussion and a vote to approve first reading and advance to second reading, which will be taken up at our next Seaport Alliance Managing Members meeting. As a reminder, Article 6 of our bylaws provides for a vote to be taken at first reading to advance for second reading and provides that amendments within the scope of the proposed resolution are allowed at second reading prior to a final vote. The motion, let's see here. Commissioner Keller, did you want to make any comments about this before?
I think this came out of a conversation about a month ago where we expressed that we would like to be able to learn more about the Seaport Alliance, mostly because a lot of our constituents are confused about the Seaport Alliance. I think it was important for us to be able to, in our retreat, we talked about how the Seaport Alliance was formed and all of that, and I think it gave us a good education as to where we're going with this. There are eight of us who were not here in August 2015 when the Alliance was formed. I think it's important to note that all five Seattle commissioners and all five Tacoma commissioners voted for the Alliance at that particular point in time. I think two of them are here, Commissioner Marzano and Commissioner Meyer. So the rest of us, like I said, we're not here at this time. So I think it's good to go through the purpose of the organization so that we can each weigh into it as well.
Great, thank you very much. And I am in full support of this resolution. I think it's important for us to reaffirm and signal to the market our commitment to this alliance, especially given how soft the market is right now. I think it's important to show unity. So for any questions, I will entertain a motion and a second first, and then I'll open it up. Is that how we're doing it? Oh, I see. Okay, all right. So we can just go straight to discussion.
All right.
Any questions or comments? All right.
I have a question. I guess this may be for Dana. I don't know if we're here for now. But I guess when you say, because this second part, I think we've all restated our commitment to the Seaport Alliance and the original purpose and need, as well as honoring the contractual agreement, because that's already been signed before us and you just follow the contracts. I think it's the second one. Anytime, I guess, as identified in the charter, and I was wondering what page in the charter, like where can I get the information with regards to that? My only concern about the second one is if I didn't have eyes identified in the charter, it would seem like we're limiting ourselves, as in we're stopping ourselves if we all 10 agree to do something, appraise something. But it seems quite general without as identified in the charter, so I'm wondering what section does that actually in the charter that are we saying we're not going to seek to reevaluate?
You give me a moment, I'll give you a pinpoint citation.
Sure.
My computer's not up and running. Ordinarily, I would just search it through that. I apologize. Believe it's 3.1C, which is the provision on the membership interest affirmation that was to happen one time. I didn't write this resolution, so I believe that's the reference in the charter.
I only say this because I figured that when we do say we restate our commitment, we're already honoring our contract and original purpose. But the other one without the provision just seems so general that we can't do things. We're telling ourselves and limiting ourselves. But if it does have something to do with the provision, then that's just honoring the contract again. 10.1? No problem. You're not Wikipedia or ChatGPT or Wiki or Google. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for that question and clarification. The motion before us is to approve first reading. Yes, Commissioner Feldman.
So
I was just want clarification. So are we going to cite that in this resolution? Because I think it's valuable if we're reaffirming.
Yeah, we can amend it between now and the second meeting.
Okay, so that's the plan.
Sure.
All right, and then I just want to, because I know we had that conversation at the retreat, is do we really have the official definition of what the alliance is? And so that the fifth whereas, it says, the purpose is to promote. And was that is that a quote?
I think at the retreat we were looking for the mission and vision of the alliance. The purpose of the alliance is pretty clear in our charter.
Because nothing says in an environmentally sustainable manner. Usually it always has sort of like that tag on at the end. And I know one of our sentiments has something about the environment in it. And this is without that. But, I mean, I think we were describing the fact that we sort of need to get a concise mission statement written. So the question is this purpose statement drawn from the charter, or is this just an articulation of the general sentiment? And if it is the official one, I would cite it as well.
Which paragraph are you looking at?
The fifth, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Whereas the Seaport Alliance, well, the NWSA's purpose is to promote. Again, if
that
it's official.
That sounds like what's in the charter, but we can confirm that.
Those would be the two citations I'd recommend.
We can clarify. And if you want to introduce an amendment in regards to the environmental stuff, then you're welcome to do that as well between now and next month. Okay, any other questions or concerns? Yes, Commissioner Meyer.
Yes. a couple of comments I guess I'd like to offer. I do like the statements on the resolution in terms of restating our commitment and its original purpose and need. I like the last comment in terms of remaining committed, but it's the second one that Commissioner Ang has alluded to that causes me a little bit of a problem, to say the least. But from a substantive standpoint, I am really concerned about our charter, both its business plan and the need to update the business plan all the way through looking at how additional properties are evaluated as you go forward. Now, and maybe I'm influenced more by the fact I visualize, at least in the South Harbor, we got the potential of adding 100, 150 acres as a licensed property. And I don't like what I see relative to what we've done on licensed property in the Port of Tacoma in terms of the Alliance paying twice as much for a piece of property under our current methodology and our current rigidity in terms of our policy. So there are numerous reasons that I've spelled them out. I think I've shared those with you all. I think procedurally this should go in front of the Internal Governance Committee before it's voted on by this body. This is exactly the topic that we need to spend some time on. There are different proposals out there, and I think the whole issue here of being very clear about what we're adopting with reaffirming, and at the same time, I find this process kind of strange to me. And the reason is that normally on first readings we don't vote. Isn't that right? Do I have that right, Dana?
Our bylaws say that we vote to proceed to second reading. We have not been entirely consistent about that.
Okay,
but
so
this is
I'm
to move it to second. It's
so
not on the substance. It's to move it to second reading.
Okay. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I have a problem supporting this because I don't think it's clear about what we're asking, what we're reaffirming. I don't like where we're at now in terms of our business plan. It doesn't speak to some of the issues Commissioner Fellman just alluded to, and it doesn't certainly speak to service levels in this corridor. And those are issues that I think are relevant and are important to our customers. And so I can't vote in favor of this because it's too generalized and it's not specific enough in terms of what exactly we're focused in on. And I'm just really concerned about going forward. I'm not looking back. I want to go forward and look at the methodology by which unlicensed properties are a part of this agreement. And it's not identified in an appropriate way as far as I'm concerned, nor does it give enough detail. And I know people have indicated, well, we can negotiate that. I don't like negotiating without some policy parameters. So I can't support this.
So just for clarification, we're voting as this is not, we're not actually voting on it itself. We're voting on to introduce this for second reading at the next month's meeting. This is just first reading.
I know, but
so you're not voting on the actual proclamation. You're voting on whether to move it to second.
It's a procedural matter? Okay,
yes.
I can get there.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
Commissioner Meyer, just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. A couple things. Okay. So if we move this to the second reading, is that when, if you wanted to add an amendment, you would?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So you all have a month to provide us with amendments to this.
Okay. And the reason I say that, because I think, first of all and foremost, I want to make sure it's perfectly clear that I fully support what we have been doing and what we are doing. I'm all in favor of that. I'm a little bit concerned about the second resolve in that. This was created as a living document that, will adjust as time goes on and as times change. So I'd be a little bit concerned about that second resolve. I'm fully supportive of the resolution. I think it needs to be sent a clear message that the Northwest Seaboard Alliance is alive and well and moving forward. That's all.
Thank you. Yeah, just one more time. This is, out of respect for the procedure, we could have waived first reading and gone straight to second reading and just passed it. And because we wanted the procedure of, we're doing the first reading, in July's meeting, we will vote on it, and in between, commissioners will have the time to provide the input. But we needed to get this introduced so that we can provide input. Commissioner Keller.
Yes, I think some of the things, Commissioner Meyer, concerned about is the fact that, and I would ask all of us to study the charter before you go through and create amendments, because I think that there's speculation. Like if you're talking about adding or removing properties, it's already added in 3.1 small I. It's already in there. So I think if we're picking this apart, we better make sure that we study it first, if that makes sense.
I think that's fair. Commissioner Calkins.
I want to hopefully clarify, from 10.1 to where we got in the resolution, there might be a little bit of misunderstanding amongst us commissioners around a term that we have a colloquial use of and a term that is the official definition, and that is managing member. We are not, in fact, managing members, we as individuals. We're commissioners. The managing members are the Port of Seattle and the Port of Tacoma. And what 10.1 says is no managing member, i.e., no home port, shall take any action to dissolve, terminate, or liquidate the PDA, or, and this is where the language comes from, to reacquire revaluation, apportionment, appraisal, or partition of the PDA or any of its assets, or to file a bill for an accounting except as specifically provided in this charter, and each managing member, to the fullest extent permitted by applicable law, hereby waives any rights to take any such actions under applicable law, including any right to petition a court for judicial dissolution. Plain language, what this is telling us is neither port can, by a vote of their own members, commissioners, do this thing because it would be in violation of the charter. Do the things that are listed in today's resolution that we're considering. That does not disempower the Northwest Seaport Alliance from doing any of those things. We can do it as a body. It can't be done by one of the individual port commissions without violating the charter. And I think that, so maybe all we need is a friendly amendment on the resolution that instead of saying, as identified in the charter, we need to amend it to neither port. So that would be my offer of a friendly amendment for us to consider between now and the second read.
else? All right, the motion before us is to approve the first reading of proposed resolution 2023-04, commitment to the Northwest Seaport Alliance, and advance to second reading. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay.
Aye.
Oh, nice. Thank you, Commissioner Mohammed, we got you. Any opposed, say nay. All right, the motion carries. This concludes our action agenda, and we now hear a 2023 mid-year grant update. Actually, can I just pause real quick? Commissioner Mohammed, I'm really sorry. Did you have any thoughts or comments regarding this resolution?
No, I appreciate you going back. No, okay. No comments. I think
thank you.
Said what I would have said.
All right, thank you. All right, we are now going to move on to our briefings with Deirdre Wilson and Ryan McFarland.
I think it's afternoon now. Good afternoon. I'm Deirdre Wilson, Senior Planning Manager with the Northwest Seaport Alliance.
I'm Ryan McFarland, Director of Government Affairs.
So before we move on to the next slide and we start giving you our update, I just wanted to share a little bit of information about our grant program. We did load you up with a bunch of information in the attachments. If you had a chance to look at those, there's a pretty lengthy memo as well as the narrative we submitted recently for our Port Infrastructure Development Program grant application for Husky. So you got a lot of materials there if you have a chance to review those. But just as a quick overview, I've been with the Alliance for about 6 years now, and we have really embraced the idea of grants and are developing a grant program. We have a grant specialist that supports us with our applications now. The Port of Tacoma recently hired a grant administrative position to help post-award. And so just as an example of, I'm beyond the village word now. I think it's taking us an army to actually get some of the larger grant applications together. With the Husky application, our final announcement of what was submitted just as a wrap-up included 40 different people on copy. So we have a lot of people in the organization that are supporting these applications. We have applications for grants that range anywhere from $300,000 for analysis of a site to something that's a $50 million application like a terminal expansion. So it's a really wide range, and today you're just going to get a snapshot of time since we talked in February that this was requested, that we have these regular updates and check-ins on what we're doing in the grant program. The materials that we're going to cover here in the next few minutes just give you a snapshot. So I just wanted you to be aware that there is a lot of work happening behind the scenes. And this information is really just an update since February when we were here last. Are there any questions before we get started? If you'd had a chance to look at the materials or anything, have a burning question to ask? Okay, so as I mentioned, we did a really robust application that we submitted recently for the Husky Terminal Expansion Part 1. This was a Port Infrastructure Development Program grant application, and just as a reminder, in 2020 we did one for T5. In 2021 we did the off-dock container yard, the Port of Tacoma application. 2022 was another T5 application for the gate and yard expansion. All of our prior applications have been successful in this grant program, and with the additional funding opportunities, we increased our ask this time to this $56.6 million request, and the application is pending right now. We have not had any questions or had any inquiries yet on our application. That will be coming. It takes many months for them to review these applications that come in from across the country, so we'll keep you posted on how that goes. Meanwhile, we also have been working on some earmark requests, one of which is partially successful, and Ryan can answer any questions you may have on those, but we have the zero emission drayage truck pilot program that Jayapal's office has in for appropriations potentially, and then we did ask for reefer plugs for Pierce County Terminal. This was our second round for asking for that money, which was not successful. But we do continue to look for any opportunities that we have for things that match up, and I'll give you some examples of that as we move through the presentation. Any questions there?
Why was our request for
So it was the second time we asked for the same request, so it wasn't actually a second round. Yeah, it's just, so in the case of, so this we submitted to Representative Kilmer, and the way he runs his process is through a board of Pierce County individuals, community members, and whoever was on that panel did not select ours. There were higher interest applications that they received.
Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you. Ryan, I'm assuming from a business standpoint, if we add additional reefer plugs at Pierce County Terminal, that that's going to help Evergreen's capability for exports. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, so we may not get external funding support for this, but where's the business case for this? Because if, in fact, this is necessary to improve our exports, why wouldn't we want to consider this? Maybe partner, is this the total cost of the project, by the way? I mean, or is this a matching kind of a deal where it's a $6 million project? I'm just asking about the business need and the fact that we want to improve throughput through this gateway. You know, to help me understand the business case here.
On the business side, so Evergreen has been one of our largest, I think our largest exporter of reefer cargo through the gateway. They have been using temporary power to answer the call to the need of reefer. So this would provide permanent reefer plugs to add to what they have today. Certainly that would strengthen their position in the marketplace to attract more refrigerated cargo through our gateway. I was checking with Tong or Ryan that was clear when the evaluation was performed by the committee. And I don't know if you have more specific details about which projects were awarded that the committee felt were more valuable than our business case.
I can find those, but I don't know them.
Okay. We did present a business case.
Mm-hmm. But this is a case where they're covering that need with temporary.
Temporary, with power packs and things.
So like this is just a conversion from temporary to permanent, but they're still handling the product. See, from my standpoint, if this is if we can demonstrate a business need, we may want to do this anyway. But if you're saying they're finding different ways to handle
it, it's not a perfect situation, and there's a variable cost associated with the way in which they're accommodating that need. So this would be a more permanent fixture of infrastructure, and it also has an environmentally friendly story to it as well, because when you run power packs, you've got that environmental issue. So we actually are talking to Evergreen about how we might negotiate into their lease a way to fund this infrastructure.
Fantastic. I support it. I think you're on the right track. Just because it didn't compete well doesn't mean it isn't need it from a business case standpoint. So I'd be interested to follow up on that. Thank you.
Excellent. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Yes,
just
Commissioner Marzano.
Just a quick follow-up. Now, these are federal grants we were going after. Are there state grants also available that we're seeking with regards? Okay, I thought so.
And we'll talk about some of those a little bit later in the presentation.
So other related grant activity that we've been working on the last few months is the Clean Hydrogen Hub program that we have been participating in. Washington State Department of Commerce submitted that application to the federal government. That was something we participated in, but we were not a partner. We provided support information and would be, my understanding, as an offtake partner kind of later on down the process if we, our region does become a clean hydrogen hub. The America's Marine Highways program has evolved a bit and now allows for more types of projects, but is still focused on domestic shipping lines, trying to get trucks off the roadways and using our marine highways. We have the commercial team that is trying to push this out to our domestic tenants as an opportunity. So far, we haven't heard of any applications for that program. And we have some late breaking opportunities that this is an example of things changing just since our slide was prepared, because the process is so dynamic these days with the grant opportunities. The federal government has been very slow to respond to the money that's been infused into these programs, and we're still waiting on certain grant programs to actually release the notice of funding opportunities. We recently had the opportunity to come out for the charging and fueling infrastructure program, which we are applying for the zero emission truck charging infrastructure. This one is a truck. I'm trying to remember the, make sure that I don't get these confused. So this one is actually a new idea for a trucking depot type of situation that we partner with private companies. We'll be doing a request for proposals for those companies we could partner with to have this basically a setup sort of like a Love's gas station, but for the charging infrastructure and the needs of the electric trucks. So this is something very new and emerging, and we didn't want to pass this up. We looked for opportunities that were consistent with the Northwest Ports Clean Air Strategy implementation plans that each of the different entities have within the Alliance. And then we also have a similar opportunity with reduced truck emissions at port facilities, the RTEPF opportunity that will come on the heels of that one. Both of these, since the date we prepared this slide, they've given us a little bit more time to get the applications in, but it was still a really aggressive timelines. Fortunately, our air quality and sustainability team is very good at submitting grant applications, has been preparing all of this last couple of years with, you know, expecting these opportunities to come out, and we are going to be getting applications in for both of these. The second one, the RTEPF, is going to be to enhance the zero emission truck demo project program. So it would enhance that program that we already have been asking for money in different other more regional and state programs to get us perhaps from 10 trucks to 40 trucks so that we can increase the number of trucks that we can have in that program and that demo. Some examples of federal grants that we track. To answer your question, we have some of these tables in the presentation here that just give you some examples of federal and state grant opportunities. These on the federal side are the bigger ones, you know, in the multi-million dollars. And I just wanted to put this in here for you to see that the project types that they focus on were very successful in the PIDP because it focuses on port infrastructure. So you may hear about these other grant opportunities and maybe we're eligible, but that's not really the focus of those opportunities. So you can see infra is multimodal freight and highway. RAISE is highway infrastructure. PROTECT is going to be for resilience, road and rail. So while, you know, they are for things we care about that help us get to our facilities, they are not specific to ports. So we have a lot more competition for those dollars. So this is just giving you some examples. Coordinated course, we had some icons in there that this relates to those opportunities on our facilities that you'll see, that kind of relates back to that book that you have with where are those project types that we really need to work on. To Commissioner Meyer's point, whenever we look for grant opportunities to match up with these potential grants that will be coming out, we're looking at those lists of things that are on our, oh, we need to do this at this terminal or this facility. We prioritize this project so that we try to match those up as much as we can and get those submitted. This is just another added to the list of the federal opportunities. We have truck emissions. We'll be seeing more and more of those electrification and emission reduction opportunities, and we'll be following all of those. Like I said, we use our implementation strategies from the Northwest Ports Clean Air Strategy as our guide for what is appropriate to submit. So one of the things we want to talk about just for a minute today is, since we've been doing this a few years, we've learned some things. And for our $300,000 grant applications, it's pretty simple, right? You fill out the form, you submit it to the agency that's, you know, offering the money. You follow up with how you spent the money once you get your invoices for the work that you did, but usually by a consultant. Then there's the flip side where we talk about these $10 to $50 million grants opportunities that we're looking at for our, you know, bigger infrastructure investments. And there are, we have learned that there are a lot of strings attached. So we just wanted to share that with you for visibility and awareness. There are lots of reporting requirements that extend, in some cases, up to 5 to 10 years beyond when you've actually completed your project. We're learning that we need to try to structure that into our application. If you have reporting requirements for a certain type of project, that it's something feasible, makes sense with our current operations, that we're not making things up that's going to cause extra work in the future. Whatever you apply for in your application, as far as the use you've described, is what you need to use that property for the duration of the time that you get that grant money, and then also during that reporting period that you're required to report after you've completed your project. So you can figure about at least 10 years you're going to be subject to that use that you described as your proposal when you asked for that money. Sounds like a simple thing, but the dynamic world that we live in, things change on our facilities, and it isn't always the same as what we thought it would be a couple years ago. We have performance ties to the administration's agendas. Lots of questions now that we have in these applications about things completely unrelated as far as our the data for what you might expect to see on an application for a port infrastructure project. We have to go into lots of details about our community and how we're dealing with workforce development and, you know, different things about the environment and things that make sense for the world we live in, but you wouldn't necessarily expect to be in a grant application. And then we have this ever-looming the Buy and Build America requirements that we are watching really closely for potential waivers. We haven't, to my knowledge, seen any significant resolution in many years on this situation, nor do we have much information about expedited timeline for review of those types of waivers. So we have to be really careful about that when we're making our applications and structuring our proposals. And then there are statutory determinations that the funders look at our applications very closely for very specific items that they're looking for. One of the examples that we had for this PIDP application we just worked on was about safety. One of the things that they were proposing is to be putting in a different network of the refrigerated containers that would make it easier for them to maintain them rather than having to use the ladders that are unsafe that they do now. So it's really strange sometimes details that go into the benefit cost analysis and putting a number to that safety in the improvement. And then there are just little basic things like, does the applicant have the authority to carry out this project? Making sure that we're clear in our applications, whether it's the home port or the alliance, who's going to be responsible for the project and the funding. And then we have the complexity of our, you know, more recent applications where we're partnering and working with the terminal operators or with the tenants and trying to have those more complex but much more competitive applications and understanding their inner workings and developing those relationships. So all that to say, we've grown a lot. We're getting a lot more sophisticated in how we do our applications. The consultants we worked with on the recent PIDP application told us that our team is the most sophisticated and informed of any that they work with in the country. And so while we feel like we're struggling, we're actually doing quite well. So I'll share that with you.
Before we move on, just can I ask a quick question? Have we already applied for the CFI grant?
The deadline was extended to 13th. Tuesday, so we will be submitting within the next few days.
Great. That's why I asked.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Marzano, to your question, here's an example of some state-level grants. Actually, this is a smattering of state funds and federal funds, but there are cases where federal funds flow through local and state entities. That is the case with the National Highway Freight Program, with DERA, CMAQ. Those three are actually federal dollars, but they come through either a state agency or, in some cases, the Metropolitan Planning Organization, PSRC. So we, in this last year, we actually did apply for and secure National Highway Freight Program funds for the T5 grant, for which we also received a PIDP grant in 2022. And some of these other funds might look familiar to you as well, MOTCA, Model Toxics Control Act for cleanups, but just we've also been successful with the ecology grants at the state level in recent years. Let's go to the next. Of course, those programs, that's just one way we can get funding. We also have been pretty successful at budget provisos, basically earmarks in the state budgets. Here you're seeing some examples of funding wins from the 2023 legislative session. It includes over $20 million directly to Seaport Alliance projects, and specifically this year for our clean air programs, there was $14 million in the transportation budget for shore power at Terminal 18. That's going to cover about half the cost of the project. There was also $6.3 million for our zero emission truck demonstration project that Deirdre referred to earlier. The legislature this year also created programs we can apply for in future years. There is $26.6 million for electrification projects at ports. Still to be defined exactly what's going to be eligible for that. That's going to be run by WashDOT, but conceivably shore power, but potentially other areas as well, like cargo handling equipment. And then there is some funding in, specifically for cargo handling equipment as well. All right. And finally, there's the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund. We're including this in a different category. This is federal money. We covered this in detail at our last meeting, 30-some slides, I think it was. And I won't do that again, except to say that the Section 2106 program is already a steady source of funding for us, and I'm optimistic those amounts are going to increase significantly next year.
Under attack. Yeah, Commissioner Ng.
Hi, Ryan. I had a question about HMT, just as a reminder. When you said a steady source of income, since when, and you know, what is the average that we've been receiving?
We've been receiving Seattle and Tacoma each around $2.7 million
since
2014. For several years, we used that funding for an importer incentive program. And in the last, David, I think it's been two years. This will be the third year we've used it on some infrastructure in water maintenance type of projects.
And are you able to give us an estimate of what type of how much we could receive next year for harbor maintenance tax, or is that still tentative, and how's that looking like?
It's still tentative, but if implemented as intended, if as Congress intended in the fiscal year 24 Corps of Engineers work plan, it should be 18 to 24, 25 million for each port, home port.
Great, thank you.
So this slide gives you just a snapshot of a bit of the attachment that you have that lists out all of the different projects that we have gleaned from the capital investment plan. And the stars prioritize where we try to emphasize, you know, based on the emphasis from the Alliance on where the investments need to go. You'll see in the right-hand column are the potential grant opportunities. There's not always a good match, right? I mean, if one of those grant opportunities comes up on a lower priority project, then we will try to go after that opportunity. These projects come from that capital investment plan and the budget process that you all go through. So that's where we source our ideas for the grant applications. And that is illustrated in the coordinated course materials that we've been putting together the last couple of years that indicate those improvements on those facility profile sheets on each page for the facilities. And then we come before you with our updates like this on how we're doing with matching up those grant opportunities with the projects and where we've been focusing our energies. And we do have a grant steering committee meeting of leadership staff that meets every other month to give us direction at the staff level to, you know, where, which way to head as far as the opportunities, how much to ask for, what seems like a good match. Sometimes we're redirected in a big way to ask for more or, you know, maybe look at some different kind of projects. Meanwhile, we are also coordinating with other jurisdictions and agencies on their opportunities and providing support letters. The government affairs team works a lot of hours trying to coordinate support letters, not only for our own applications, but to support those other projects that we care about in the region. So our upcoming key dates are the annual retreat in August, September budget study session, and then the budget adoption in November, and then looking forward to the next grant update in January.
Great. Thank you so much, both of you. You. Any other questions? Commissioner Feldman.
I thought we were out of the thunder season. But anyway, the thank you again. I'm a big fan and really appreciate all the work you put in and the fact that we've staffed up just to deal with this obviously seems to more than have paid for itself. I greatly appreciate that. The couple of things. One is this truck stop idea that you mentioned. So I was in San Antonio a couple of weeks ago and decided to make the beautiful trip to Laredo just to see a truck stop. And, you know, that was an interesting road. You know, it's only semis on the road. It's like the Mexico, it's like a shipping lane. And, like the grocery stores say, you know, no semis. It's because that's all people are driving. And aside, what I went down there to see was a program called Idle Air. And it's basically a scaffolding that the truckers drive underneath. And dangling from the scaffolding are ducting. And they have templates that fit in the driver's side window that basically you can dial in your thermostat, plug in your phone, get Wi-Fi, and in fact, the scaffolding, depending on how much power you have, can become a charging station as well. And in fact, some even have solar on the ceiling of that, and it's remarkably inexpensive, like under a couple $100,000 for the infrastructure. And then they charge the drivers a couple of bucks an hour to turn off their engine and just sit there and be quiet and sleep in their cab or whatever. And it was really novel. There's none on the West Coast. And I just didn't know whether, I thought we all know about green trucks and we all love green trucks. And if everybody had $300,000 in their pocket, we'd all have green trucks. So, and then there's also the challenge, of course, to get that kind of infrastructure in place. This is relatively low power and kind of if you have a place to park, you have a place to do this. And so I just didn't know whether this idea would be something that you'd like to have more information on, or you think it would be appropriate for this kind of funding, because it's pretty, they tell me that they're getting DERA grants to help underwrite something like this. So is that something that you would see as some potentially, I meant to bring this to the truck consortium, but I have no visibility about when those guys are meeting, so.
I think yes is the short answer, and if you have any information, or even if it's just a link to that place, if you could send it to me, I'll get it to our air quality team. They may or may not already know of that model. It sounds something similar to the trucking as a service concept that we're trying to, let's see, which grant is that? That's going to be the CFI, the charging infrastructure grants that we're applying for. And the idea is you're partnering with the private sector
And we're the our partnership is to basically subsidize that with potentially grant funds that we receive. And that's going to generate a lot of ideas. Like, it's not going to prescribe exactly what that location has to look like, but it could conceivably be something like that.
And one of the other things is just that I see so much of this is a real estate play. Unless you can find a place to park, you can't do anything, right? And so I'm just wondering how much our real estate folks are just saying, you know, find something proximal. And I just been talking to the folks at Snoqualmie and the concerns about parking up there. And because this is one of the things I've always found interesting was, well, we know of that being a problem. Most of our conversations always, you know, around the harbors. And I'm just wondering, again, for interest in the inland port idea, the idea that we can park there and come in the off hours or whatever. Anyway, I'm just wondering, from a real estate perspective, this may not be same grant suitable, but it does seem to make some of these programs more viable if we had the dirt to implement.
Actually, I think land acquisition is permissible under CFI.
So it is permissible?
It is. For the record, I'm not the reason why this weird sound is happening, but they gave me this mic anyway. Commissioner Calkins?
For what it's worth, you look really cool with that microphone. Can I?
I feel cool, actually.
All right, so I want to continue this conversation around the two truck-related. I think it's a really, there are so many potential wins here for environmental justice, because the communities that are most impacted by our trucking fleet so far are historically underserved communities, historically impacted communities. We're at an inflection point because of a number of factors, including recent state legislation that has helped to bridge the gap between the cost of replacing existing diesel fleets with electric fleets. We now have federal funding to support this kind of effort. And so a few things that mostly comments to make sure that you guys are running to ground a few key partners. One is city and county on this in both places. I know that the city and county have been in the Port of Seattle have been pursuing mechanisms around environmental justice to help with that financial gap between what's possible right now and what will be possible soon. And I also know, as you mentioned, that now we have these new entrants, these startups that are saying, we've got the financing to do it, we don't have the land to do it. And I know I personally received some inquiries from some of these businesses and passed them along to our folks at the Seaport Alliance at the Port of Seattle. For me, I want it to be a robust competition for these opportunities, because I do think they're going to eventually make money on this, and they have a lot of financial backing to make it possible. I see it also as an opportunity to activate properties that right now are not generating revenue for the Port of Seattle or the Port of Tacoma. In our case, I think of truck parking that we're offering right now, but that has zero value add. All it is a place to park a truck at T25. What if that became a Love's parking lot for trucks, where you would be able to pull in, you'd know you have a spot, you know you'd get refueled overnight, you know that there'd be other commensurate services available to you as a trucker, bathrooms, other services, maybe a shuttle bus that gets you to and from where you parked your car or you commuted. I mean, those kinds of things all of a sudden become possible, and we generate lease revenue as a Seaport Alliance for that. And I can think of other properties as well, CEM, up the Duwamish River. I also know that this needs to be part of a string of pearls charging. So we need to be doing this as part of the coalition that you all have started to look at. It isn't just port adjacent, but it's distribution center adjacent. And so recently I've come to understand that CBRE, Prologis, and others are thinking about how they get involved in this as well. And it's exciting to think that folks with, you know, the backing of CalPERS or other major pension funds are saying, we think this is financially viable. It's not just about doing good for the community, but what if we could turn a dollar on this into $1.50? And so on the one hand, I want us to aggressively pursue this and do it as quickly as possible. I think we have an advantage on the West Coast in the state legislation that we have that we can effectively put up as matching to the federal legislation. And so I think we should be, you know, first to get this funding on a federal level, if you ask me. But I also think time is of the essence. We really do need to act quickly, and we need to understand that it may mean we put in, you know, something like property or other things at a rate that will make it competitive so that we can win some of these opportunities. Thanks for the musical outro.
All right, any other questions? Commissioner Marzano, yeah,
thank you. Just a quick comment. First of all, thanks for all the work that you do. One of the things that we find ourselves in when states and the Congress enact laws, it costs us money. And it's important that they be a party in part to help us solve those issues. With regard to the HMT and how they interpret it, and this is how the shortfall became, I want to make sure that if we can somehow pursue how we interpret it and how it should have been, that it's not just on a yearly basis, that every year we're going to have to fight for it and try to advocate for this is how it was and this is how it was intended. Keep it that way for now, forever.
Commissioner Ng.
Sure. First of all, thank you so much for your work and assembling a team and getting the personnel so that we can pursue as what some people call once in a generation, but maybe once in a decade type of funding that will be monumental and transformative for our ports. And the other thought that I had was that I know that the administration, both I would say federal and state, are asking for extra things, as you said, those equity or justice 40. I'm hoping that our city and county are very helpful because they make equity maps, as well as these organizations, these environmental organizations I know are definitely going to start targeting that in terms of some of the funding with regards to the Justice 40 concept. I've been hearing that. As well as, oh, there was that last thought. I just lost it there. The Climate Commitment Act funds. I don't know if that will be a next year's kind of presentation on how ports access those funds and what's the possibility of uses for them, or is that upcoming this year?
You going to respond to that, or should I have another question?
So the Climate Commitment Act, created more revenue than was expected, and I'm not sure exactly what it's anticipated for each of the coming years, but for now, I think we should assume that there is a funding stream for clean air projects, and we'll have to revisit that each year. But I guess the good news is our clean air strategy is going to require a lot of funding, so we've got the projects.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. I had a quick question. CFI is not just meant for charging; it's also meant for alternative fueling. So I'm curious if you looked at alternative fueling options as part of our grant application, or are we just focused on the electric vehicle charging at this point?
I don't know the specific answer. I don't know. Do you know the answer?
But I think it's both.
Yeah, I think that it isn't being specified. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity for us to learn what amenities are desired at a trucking as a service opportunity might be. And so we're asking for money to sort of set up a program of doing those RFPs so that we can have people tell us what they would be able to develop and perhaps partner with them on those projects without it being specific to electric.
Okay, so now I'm confused. Are we applying for EV charging money, or are we just applying? Because there's two pots of money in CFI, actually. So I'm trying to understand exactly what we're going after.
Well, I don't know if somebody here has, if you have an answer, do you know? We're putting out RF requests for proposals. So we're applying for funds.
You're responding to the federal RFP. So what does our RFP response say? Or are we applying for?
Hello, we would be responding to the pot of community funds, not corridor.
Okay.
And yes, and it would be for, we would be asking for money to incentivize the development of these hubs of trucking as a service and and truck charging.
So we're going after the community grant?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Hawkins.
Sorry to double dip. One just quick question around, there's an enormous amount of money coming through CHIPS Act, and it's not all about semiconductors. There's a lot of just general technology promotion. And I'm wondering, and I don't see any of that in here, and I know that there's some hesitation around adoption of technology, but there is a lot of opportunity for things like supply chain transparency in systems that create passive environmental monitoring, safety and security. Are we thinking about any grant opportunities that would allow us as harbors to offer almost sort of added services related to the implementation of technologies that support that kind of advancement?
So let me start with the CHIPS Act. I haven't really looked at that, and I don't know if your team has, but there is another grant program. Actually, I think it was a FAST Act program, Advanced Technology. It's a like a six-letter acronym, and I don't remember it. But that we could use for something like that for data platforms. I think, and that's an opportunity, but I think we're still working. I might have to kick this to somebody else here in the room, figuring out exactly what system we would want to use money for, which, you know, is sort of a we need to have partners who are going to be sharing data before we can build a system to know what the system looks like before we apply for a grant. So we're sort of caught in the planning.
I may follow up with you based on some recent conversations that I think would be pertinent.
Yes, Commissioner Feldman.
I bring this up every time, but the meta grants for innovation and interesting things like that. Drum roll, please. And
everybody who's not talking to me.
Ooh.
That's me typing away.
All right. So it looks like we're okay right now. It was all Hasegawa's fault. So anyway, have we looked into some of the opportunities associated with Meta?
Yeah, and you did.
It's not the Meta we're thinking about, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have looked at that, and so far we've found more fit opportunities that fit a certain project a little better with more funding. So Meta is a little more on the pilot side of things. We're doing a pilot for the trucks, but there's larger funding sources. So yes, we've looked at it, and it is something that's in the quiver. We just haven't gotten to that one.
Because I worked on the criteria on that, and I know it's like suitable for quiet sound, that sort of thing. So it just seemed to me kind of a natural for that sort of technology, and this whole issue associated with automated detection of presence of whales and darkness and things like that would be, or hydrophone deployments, those sort of things would be, I think, mm-hmm. well suited for that sort of thing. That was well. Anyway, I'll come back to that. Oh yeah, the fluids, the liquid fuels. To Commissioner Cho's point, you know, throughout all of the heavy industries, right, the fastest way to make innovation, right, to make progress, right, trucks, planes, ships. So are we looking at, and we're looking very much at trying to have local regional production capabilities. So what is our, and everybody wants to go electric. I'm also concerned about the grid being able to support it. So what are we doing about a liquid fuel strategy?
I'd have to defer to our air quality team to get back to you on that, but I do know that they're definitely not wed to electric only, and they're looking at multiple options.
Yeah, and I know we want to jump to hydrogen, and all that's good, but
immediately available incremental steps forward. I just would like to see us, and you know, and if you're producing renewable diesel, it's a good step precursor to sustainable aviation fuels. So I'm just hoping that we don't miss the initial step while we shoot for the moon.
All right. Anything else? Go ahead, Commissioner Meyer.
Yes, thank you. I enjoyed this presentation. I will tell you that I think there's 15 be reminded what these of the fact that in the case of Puerto de Calma, when we went out and purchased certain types of land, we issued bonds, and then all of a sudden we find that we can't do necessarily what we want to do on the land. So my question is that on these grants, is there a, let's assume we want to switch uses to whatever reason, is there a buyout provision usually in these grants? Because you know, as the world we live in, it changes real quick, and we have to be adapt to that change. And my concern is that with all these restrictions, I worry about that.
So the federal agency that issues the notice of funding opportunity has certain criteria and certain goals for their program. If we were able to still meet those goals for their program with some kind of an adjustment to the use, then it seems like we would be able to work with that. They're pretty amenable, you know, when it comes to once we get in with a grant agreement and we're explaining our project, if cost increases, you know, things like that. If we were to change the use of the property to something that doesn't meet the goals of that grant program, we would have to give the money back.
Okay. Okay. That's what I thought, but I really like your advice of pointing out that there are some downsides to this, and I think that's good balanced reporting. Thank you.
All right, they're playing with me. I got to go back to this mic. Commissioner Mohammed had a question. Commissioner Mohammed, do you want to ask your question?
Sure. The question I posed, and sorry if I missed it, I stepped away for a second. Are we exploring the possibility of submitting any joint applications with other entities or government agencies to basically increase our chances of securing these funds? Is that part of the strategy?
Yeah, so that's an added complexity to all of the work that we do with grants. It's always easier if it's just us working on it, just like when you work in a team, it makes things more complicated. But we do keep our channels open. Like I said, we try to keep in touch with the local jurisdictions as well as what's happening in the region. We actually have an opportunity to meet with Seattle staff here in the next week or so to talk. The request came to us about PROTECT, and we do have an idea. We have a project in line for a PROTECT grant application in the Tacoma Harbor. This would be something in Seattle, perhaps something that Seattle wants to work with us on. The city of Seattle. Yeah, we're definitely open to the partnering opportunities. We had a meeting with government affairs staff yesterday, and we had a staff person from the Port of Seattle suggest that we work together on an application, you know, the alliance with the Port of Seattle, with some of the grant opportunities that are coming up with the air quality opportunities. So it's, you know, it's an evolving process. It's very dynamic. We do not have the capacity to be able to keep track of everyone else's projects as well as our projects, but we certainly do keep our, you know, eyes and ears peeled to those opportunities and are open to them. So just keep the information coming. If you hear of grant opportunities or partnership opportunities, we would love to hear that.
Great.
Sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. I was just going to say thank you. That's it.
All right. Wow, that was a funky meeting today. Can I just ask a quick question real quick? One of the, and I apologize for keep harping on SCFI, but this is a very unique grant because this is a grant we're applying directly to federal agencies for, too. And one thing that is unusual about this is that we're actually applying for a grant before we actually designate the projects we're going to work on, right? So that makes things a little weird, and we're putting the cart in front of the horse, so to speak. And so I trust that the team is putting together an RFP response that is compelling, but I'm curious, what are you putting in it that we as a commission have not approved and or may not have even considered yet?
Can you hear me? Yeah, there we go. Since you mentioned a funky meeting, I thought I would join you. Jason Jordan, for the record, and these two have been doing a fabulous job, and you've all asked a lot of questions around kind of our air quality strategy, around fueling strategy. I wanted to remind this group, and to your point specifically, Commissioner, we're in the process of working with Leilani. In fact, we were just having a conversation yesterday to try and convene the environmental work group, which is now also the truck work group. And our hope was that while we had a quick turnaround to apply for this grant, that we'd come to that work group with a couple different options about how we might structure things to look for in a partnership. Also asking about what kind of role beyond a facilitator that can, if we're successful in the grant program, that can not only divvy out money, do we want to participate in some sort of land acquisition? But the intent, Commissioner, specifically to your question, is to bring that back to the environmental/truck work group and get feedback from them.
Okay, that's great. And I only bring this up because you clarified earlier that the you were going after the community grant. But the community grant has very specific requirements on publicly accessible chargers, right? If you're we're a port that doesn't just allow anyone to come on and charge on our infrastructure. So I'm just trying to figure out how we are assigning projects that fall within the qualifications or the compliance requirements of the grant. We don't need to answer those questions here now, but I just wanted to flag for you because I would hate for us to apply for a grant and then have to renege on it later. So I just want to make sure we're thinking about that. And then I think Commissioner Feldman had one last question.
Yeah, I guess getting to the question about, you know, not competing within ourselves, right? So the decision about, you know, whether Port of Seattle, Port of Tacoma, or Seaport Alliance applies for which grant, and then, you know, and then is there some attempt for a balancing act amongst them, even though it's all good? It's our, you know, external parties, whether the county, the city, it gets a little crazy, but are you consciously trying to balance this out? And because obviously it's always better to apply collectively rather than independently. So how's the coordination, I guess, is the question.
I feel like it's more art than science. So we talk with each other, cross departments and quite a bit. We have a grant steering committee, which Deirdre can go into more detail about, where we do that coordination more officially, kind of higher level. And a lot of times what it comes down to is what projects do you have, and what are the opportunities? And, you know, can we possibly do something together? That came up actually this last year on our PIDP grant application, and it turned out this home port of Tacoma project just wasn't really a great fit with the Husky project. But, you know, we try to manage it as best we can is basically all I can say. So far, we haven't had a point of conflict or competition, though, that I can think of.
And just to Commissioner Ang's point, I was on a cruise on the Duwamish with one of the executives from the EPA's EJ program, and she said her budget went from $4 million to $4 billion over the course of a year, and they're concerned about being able to spend the money. And I thought we might be able to help them with that problem. And so I expressed my willingness to see if we can do our part. And but it does require partnerships with the community. And so it is a collaborative effort. And I just, obviously the truck issue is ripe for that very conversation. So are we pursuing the EPA side of things on the Justice 40 realm?
I actually have a meeting with somebody from the EPA this week to find out what kind of problems like they're having, like you mentioned, and if we can help them.
Great, because I think that's really, like I said, there's some urgency, and while there is the money where we're not sure about tomorrow, let's strike while the iron's hot. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, both of you, for that report out. Looking forward to the next one in January. All right, we're moving on to CEO announcements. CEO Wolf, any announcements from you?
Two quick announcements. First of all, as a reminder, the Agricultural Transportation Coalition meeting will be held in Tacoma next week. That brings together ag exporters to our gateway, as well as many other industry experts and customers. So exciting opportunity to highlight our gateway. And so commissioners are invited to attend the meetings there in Tacoma. Also, on the week of June 26, some staff and maybe a few commissioners will be in Europe visiting some of our valued customers. With that, I'll turn it back to Co-Chair Cho.
Great. Thank you very much. Commissioner comments? Anyone, any comments? I'll just make very brief comments. First, we had an excellent retreat last Tuesday, with all the managing members over at the Cedarbrook Lodge. I just want to thank all the commissioners once again for joining us for that, as well as all the staff who put it together, and also some former staff who came back and reminded us of why and how the alliance was formed and why it continues to be such an important and strategic asset to this region. And so we came out of that retreat with some very, very, I think, clear, actionable, and potential ways of improving our gateway, and I look forward to us exploring those avenues and potentially taking action on those. And then secondly, we also had an offshore wind briefing a few weeks back. I think that was 2 weeks ago now. And I think a very natural follow-up to that offshore wind briefing would be for us to do some sort of a formal study. I think, Commissioner Calkins, you refer to it as more like a SWOT analysis of our gateway to see where we fit in within the entire ecosystem of the offshore wind industry. And so I would propose and suggest that we our two home ports get together with the Seaport Alliance to figure out exactly what that kind of study would look like, what the structure of that study would look like, and what the deliverables will look like. So, John, I'll connect with you later, but I think that's really important for us to follow up on. And so with that, with no further comments, the time is now 1:06 p.m. There's no further business. We are adjourned. Thank you all.